Yes, it is that time. All the Sixer sorrow can't stop us. From a little Daily Mock at 1 o'clock, we only got a few of these left. The NFL draft
Thursday
night.
You said all the Sixer sorrow. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It is a sorrow.
I need to have something I could be excited about. And the Eagles have a big draft pick coming up on Thursday night, number 22, if they stay there. All right, let's go to the latest mock draft over Pro Football Focus. Number one, Caleb Williams, quarterback, USC to the Bears. Number two, Drake May to the Commanders. Number three, and this one might be our first one in a long time where quarterbacks do not go 1-2-3. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Patriots. J.J. McCarthy, the
Vikings. Who's going to throw him the football?
Well, what was his name? Jacoby Brissett? Yeah. I guess so. All right, so
Jacoby, all right.
McCarthy goes for the Vikings trade up for J.J. McCarthy at four. Number five, Joe Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame to the Chargers. Number six, Malik Nabers, speed receiver LSU to the Giants. And then as we move down here, this is a big one. Jaden Daniels slips to eight, where the Los Angeles Rams trade up to get the scrambling quarterback out of LSU. So Jaden Daniels, the heir apparent there to Matthew Stafford. All right, let's move our way down the board here, Hugh. And this is a rare one where we do not have an Eagles trade up. The Eagles stay at 22. And in this one, over Pro Football Focus, the Eagles select Byron Murphy II, defensive tackle from Texas. It says it's a value pick for the Eagles. He replaces the void left by Fletcher Cox. He had a big Pro Football Focus grade. Hugh, we had a mock last week with a different defensive tackle. If they do this, it would be the first time we've seen a team go the same position 3 years in a row, or at least one of the first times, since the Lions did it with those receivers back in the day. But it'd be three straight years in the first round. Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Byron Murphy II. The comp is Ed Oliver, the Bills defensive tackle.
Ed Oliver out of Houston. He was a Cougar.
Yeah.
Played for the Buffalo Bills now.
Explosiveness,
yeah.
Twitchy first step. It sounds like people think this guy could be a pass rusher at defensive tackle.
I would not, listen, you know how I feel. And I still hold true to luxury, not a necessity. But to have a comp to Ed Oliver, I was a big fan of him. I thought he was going to be, when I was in Atlanta, I thought he was going to be an Atlanta Falcon. But, yeah, I like Ed Oliver. You're talking about somebody to get after the quarterback in this 3-4 defense, which I think is going to be. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having a guy like that.
So he's not very big, 6 foot 297. So, yeah, he's kind of a smaller guy. I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean you can't be a good player. Aaron Donald's going to the Hall of Fame as a smaller defensive tackle. But he's a guy that I've seen a lot higher than this. So we'll see if he's there or if he goes super early in this draft. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle out of Texas. It would be something though if they took a defensive tackle three straight years.
Yeah, I mean, but that stays true to the formula that the Philadelphia Eagles have. You know, drafting the trenches, and I think it's a sexier pick. I understand the pick if we picked an offensive lineman. I understand that, but defensive lineman, that's a little bit of a sexier pick.
Well, of course you would say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little sexier pick.
Well, Howard, when he was with us about an hour and a half ago, said he believes the most likely thing is they're going to trade up for an offensive lineman on Thursday. All right, what about a different potential trade-up? Daniel Jeremiah, well, listen to what he had to say. Obviously, Jeremiah is as good as anybody in terms of scouting. He's got his top 150 out right now over at NFL.com. At one point, was in the Eagles front office, so he knows how these guys think. Listen to what he said. There's 0% chance of the Eagles doing on Thursday night.
I would say this. He's going to trade. He's not going to stay. I'll go 70% up, 30% back. Would be my guess there. So I would say more likely to trade up than to trade back, but 0% chance he sticks and picks.
So that's Jeremiah on John Clark's podcast. So he said 70% chance they trade up, 30% chance they trade back, 0% chance. That's strong. 0% chance he believes the Eagles actually pick at number 22. I think Daniel Jeremiah was listening to our show a few weeks ago, and we said, do you trust Howie with the 22nd pick? No. Neither does Howie, apparently. He wants to trade up. All right, what does Jeremiah think? Well, give us an idea of a trade here that Daniel Jeremiah thinks could happen. Here it was.
All right, I'm going to say that the Philadelphia Eagles, they're picking 22. I'm going to say it's a very small move up. Maybe it's to get ahead of the Jags. Jags are picking 17. I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles, as we sit and discuss today, they end up getting up to pick number 16, and they make that swap, and they get ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they take Terrion Arnold, corner from Alabama.
A corner. I'm okay with a corner.
Boy, it's becoming very popular, that one, right? The more we get close. So about a week ago, I kept seeing a lot of Cooper DeJean at 22, right? If the Eagles stay at 22, that was, I'd say, I don't know, every other mock I clicked on. For a while, it was Nate Wiggins. Then it became Cooper DeJean. And now, Kyle, it feels like every time we have one of these, it's the Eagles trade up for Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, good. I mean, at least they're not going to trade up for an offensive lineman, like that dope Howard Eskin suggested. or other people want them to do. I find that to be that would be a terrible, terrible move to move up, especially take an offensive lineman. I've been of the mindset that if they're going to get a playmaker, a cornerback, 22 is a tough spot. You might as well go up and get the best one. So I'd be all for them moving up.
Well, and I saw something recently where Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks were doing a back and forth to you on, and they did an exercise where they tried to do a whole first round of just defensive players.
Mm-hmm.
And what they realized was, like, after seven or eight of them, they didn't really think they were actually first rounders. So the point was, like, there's like five or six or seven good defensive players in the first round, and then mm-hmm. it falls off fast.
Yeah, so you better get the one. If you want one, you better get the one you want.
So if you, I think the thought is, if the Eagles sit at 22.
There's probably not going to be one there. But, you know, it's a good chance. But you do you want to take that chance? Because we've said, like, at least four quarterbacks, maybe five
yep.
in the first round.
Uh-huh.
Four, definitely.
Maybe four could five. Go in the top five, yeah.
Offensive lineman, there's probably six or something there.
So that's, let's say, about 10. And then there's probably six or seven defensive players.
Yeah, that might be cutting it kind of close.
It would.
Be cutting it kind of close.
Yeah, you're right. I think the more we get closer to this, the Eagles are going to trade up. I mean, I mean, they're not staying at 22. I agree with you. I don't think Howie stayed in his spot once since he came back in
the
tower.
Yeah, he's been it feels like the last couple of seasons he's traded up.
Yeah, he always moves around, whether it's up or down. So we shall see 2 days away from the NFL draft. Well, let's get back to the phones here. All your reaction to the Sixers. I believe it's more on them for losing that game. Hugh blames the refs for the way they ref that thing late in the game.
Bad officiating, man.
Well, Nurse was calling for the timeout. He didn't get it. And obviously, you know, if you look at some of the videos and even the still photos, the tug on Maxey's jersey, and then you could also throw in the physicality with Maxey when he fell down, but just the tug on his jersey certainly could have been a foul call there. Was not. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to Joe in the Northeast. What's up, Joe?
Hey Joe, how are you?
What's going on?
What's up, Joe?
You know, I blame the refs, not just the end of the game. Is if you're going to let them play physical, let both teams play physical, and they were getting ticky-tack fouls on the Sixers, and you even heard our announcers. If you had Kay Scott and Abby on there, that they were commenting. You know, the one play down there. Lowry was going for the offensive rebound, and Vincent is holding him, you know. And I'm a Villanova guy. I'm the biggest Villanova fan in the Valley. And against the Sixers, I'm all against those guys. They're crying. You know, Brunson's trying to get a ticky-tack foul, like, you know, cutting in front of the defensive guy and Hart and all, you know. And then DiVincenzo throws that left-handed prayer up over Embiid. Yeah, how many times he's making that shot?
I know. I mean, they had a few of those kind of shots last night. It's like, how'd they make that?
Yeah. You know, coming down to that inbounds play where Maxey lost the ball, I didn't look at the box score. How were with the minutes? I heard on the station somebody said Batum got 31 minutes. Well, on that inbounds play, both Batum and Harris are in the game. They were so close to one another, they could have shook hands.
Yeah, no, okay? You're right about that. But so Batum got 26, and I agree with you on the spacing was terrible on the inbounds. It was only Maxey, and he had three guys around him.
Yeah, and Jimmy Lynam made a good point, and this there, he said he didn't agree with Hertz challenging the second foul call on Lowry. So, you know, they overturned the first one. That was on DiVincenzo when he falls back and all, right? And that was, you know, more time on the clock. So he got that fifth foul taken away from him, and Sixers got the ball. But then it was on the floor that went under a minute where Lowry gets called for the fifth foul. And he challenges that and loses. So there's the timeout that's lost, all right? So when this way, if you got that other timeout in your pocket, when Brunson hits that bouncing, and again, a lot of luck, hits that three.
You call it right there. You call it right there.
Timeout there, okay? Then you still got one in your pocket if there's a problem with the inbounds. You still got one. And Kelly Oubre should be in that game. They stopped Brunson down. You know, he didn't shoot well again. But they had Batum and Tynes and Harris on them. I didn't even like that because he was going by them, and they were letting him funnel him into the middle, And how many times did we block him from behind, whether it be Maxey, Oubre, or Batum, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and how about maybe I can't see where they're going to take 4 out of 5 off of.
I don't either. Yeah, Joe, it's very hard for me to see it, too.
How about maybe trying to get a run campaign? You know, I don't know how in reference to the matchups, but how about maybe campaign with that unorthodox shot? Maybe you give him some minutes.
Well, I'm willing to try, Joe, because right now they're getting nothing
out of
these
reserves.
Yeah, it's
all hands on deck right now.
Yeah, Joe, it's a good phone call. I mean, again, Buddy Hield has been a zero. I mean, a total zero in the postseason. I don't. It's one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
No, it was
he shoot?
What was it? I think it was in the third or fourth quarter where he was down and he had a turnover, had a big time turnover. And I was like, yeah, he probably needs to see.
Is there a chance that we got an imposter Buddy Hield, that the real Buddy Hield is not here? Again,
maybe the moment was too big for him.
In his career, he shot 7.5 threes a game. He shot one last night in 11 minutes and he missed it, which didn't help. But, like, why won't he shoot? Is there something about putting the Sixers uniform on where some guys decide, I don't shoot anymore?
I think the fear of God transferred to inside of him.
And he's afraid. Maybe he is. Maybe he's just afraid of everything here. Let's go to Michelle in Northeast Philly. What's up, Michelle?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, Michelle. We're trying to get by here. What's up? What are you thinking?
Okay. The only thing with the refs, agree on the whole timeout thing. But can we all get over, this is why people love college basketball and not the NBA. Your last caller just said Knicks are getting the calls, Sixers are getting. If I was a ref out there and I'm seeing the bitching, shouldn't have said that.
Go ahead, Vent.
The complaining and the flopping and the attitude on every single play. How about you just play basketball? You're getting paid millions of dollars.
And that's, Michelle, I'll say this about this.
You look at the Villanova kids. That's why the Villanova kids play the way they play, because they were taught properly.
Yeah, and Michelle, with the Sixers in particular, I just want to add to your point. With the Sixers in particular, Joel Embiid is the biggest one of it, and that's the way he plays, right? He makes a lot of his points at the line. But I feel like sometimes the team takes on his personality. Like, everything's got to be a foul, and if we don't get it, we stand there.
Yeah.
Like, you have to fight through it.
Right, and, you know, I know Lowry, we got – it's like the Eagles. Can we stop bringing these older players in? Maxey wants to run the court. You know, Joel came back, and that was all of our fear, is, oh, they got a thing going. They're a fast-break team. Now here it is. The announcer said it last night. Maxey's running. Oh, he's waiting for Joel to come. One of the last plays in the fourth quarter, you know, maybe a minute and a half left, Joel never even got over half court.
I know. And I saw a stat, and Michelle took...
And they scored on him.
Yep.
Was it DiVincenzo? Was it one-on-one? You didn't even at least stop the play.
I know. Well, he can't move late in the game. I mean, late in the fourth quarter last two games, Michelle, and we appreciate the phone call, he can't move. I saw a stat before the game yesterday, and I didn't see what he did last night. But they had a stat on Joel's sprint speed in game one, like how fast he was running.
Mm-hmm.
It was the slowest of the season. So I don't imagine last night was much different. There was remember the one play where he was trying to chase down a block on the
– Yeah, and he just kind of gave up.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't run.
No.
Couldn't run.
He couldn't run. By the way, with the whole thing about complaining about officiating and the coaches challenging, I got to tell you, my new least favorite thing is because the coach can challenge. You ever notice this now? Every time someone gets called for a foul, or every time they think the ball was off the wrong guy, Lowry last night is sprinting to Nick Nurse, telling him to challenge the play. We can't do this every time.
Yeah, but we benefited from that a little bit last night.
No, I know, but like the coach has eyes; he's right there.
Yeah, but like sometimes the players can see stuff that coaches can't see. I'm not. I hear what you're saying because it slows the game down.
Yeah,
but we did benefit from a call like that.
I know. Sometimes they're also wrong, because I've noticed a couple times where the player says to the coach, "Challenge," and they don't, because someone must be in the coach's ear on the saying,
"Come
like,
on, don't challenge that."
It's not worth
it. It's worse than when they do it in the first quarter. Like, dude, what do you think? Like, really think he's going to challenge that?
In out of bounds, three minutes in? Like, we're not doing this now.
Not that important.
No, it's not. Let's go to Carter, who's up next. What's up, Carter?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
What's up, Carter?
All right, man. This Sixers team, I tell you, our role players, non-existent. Outside of Maxey and Embiid, we have nothing. I don't care that Embiid's hurt. He put up 34 points on one leg. Someone else said that earlier. But, I mean, we got to get some help. The Knicks... their starting five, they all had at least 10 points, and we got two guys with more than 10 points mm-hmm. on starting lineup. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's just hard to win that way. Like, you're asking so much out of Maxey and Embiid, and when one's on the bench, you know, getting a little bit of a breather, it's like, how are you going to score when only one guy on the court can score the basketball? Like, Oubre and Tobias or Hield, like, one of those three's got to drop 15 at least.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know which one's going to do it.
I don't either.
Out of the three of them, they both want to, all three of them want to run to the bench and hide at this point, it seems. So, you know, I don't see a world where we take four out of the next five, but.
I mean, stranger things have happened, but it's hard for me to believe, too. I got Hugh over here.
Yeah. I see it.
You're calling four in a row.
Yeah, I see it. I think that they're upset. I think they're going to come out and they're going to play hard, man. They played hard last night. No question about it. It was unfortunate that the game ended the way that it did. I think there was a lot of learning in that last few minutes of the game, though, too. Because Tyrese Maxey, you can't be sitting around waiting for the refs to do you right, bro. You got to go ahead and play through that. You got to secure the basketball.
Yeah, you do. You can't just let it roll away. Carter, who do you want the Eagles to pick on Thursday?
Yeah, so I go to Clemson, and if we stay at 22, Nate Wiggins is our guy. I watched him for the last 2 years. He is a lockdown corner. He is exactly what
we
need on the
defense. He don't like to tackle nobody.
Can he tackle? Does he like to tackle?
Don't need to tackle if they're not catching the ball off of him.
You know what? Carter brings up a fair point.
We might as well keep Darius Slay.
Yeah, but Deion didn't tackle.
Deion didn't tackle. Yeah, if he a lockdown. So now he's Deion Sanders.
No, I didn't say. I'm just giving you an example.
No, it's Carter. So I'm asking you, since you watched him for 2 years, is he Deion Sanders? You put him on that level?
He's not Deion Sanders, but I mean, look up his game film against South Carolina.
No, I saw it.
Laid down a hit.
Carter, he don't like tackle, dog. I hear you, though. I hear you. I mean, if he's a lockdown corner, I need, like, Carter, I need, like, I watched this last year. I need tacklers, dude. I need some dudes that can tackle.
I'm more with you, Carter. I need people that can cover.
I need tacklers.
Yeah, I need cover ability. Carter, good phone call. The Wiggins one is interesting. If they stay there, now it seems like people don't think they're actually staying at 22, because it seems like Wiggins can cover, but as we've heard, maybe that's not his strong suit is tackling.
I need some tackle. I watched some guys that are tackle averse all last year.
I watched a whole secondary that was cover averse. That was part of the problem.
Yeah, we need both. We need both. But I would have a guy that is in run support. I want a guy that's going to be in run support more so than coverage.
I'm just saying, next year they face Jordan Love, they face Kirk Cousins, they face Dak twice, Trevor Lawrence.
Kirk, you scared of Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins torches the Eagles.
Kirk Cousins, regular season MVP.
Yeah. We're playing him in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
We got to win regular season games.
Kirk Cousins.
Lamar, Joe Burrow, Stafford.
I definitely want them to be able to attack when we play Lamar.
Just saying, we got to face some good quarterbacks next season. I got to cover. I want a corner that could do both, ideally. Right now we're dealing with one corner that can't do anything in James Bradbury.
And then one corner that just doesn't want
to
tackle.
Well, again, he's trying to take care of his long term. With Darius.
I mean, which is, if that's the decision you make, I'm all for it. If that's what you want to do.
Yeah, but if you're playing football, I need you to tackle, though.
It's kind of one of the things in football that tackling is a part of the game.
It's a big part of the game.
Big old part.
Let's talk to Steve, who's up next. What's up, Steve?
Hi. Hey,
Hi,
gentlemen.
Steve.
How are you?
What's up, Steve?
Steve, what are you thinking today?
Well, first of all, I just want to ask you one question about the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
If Kyle Lowry inbounds the ball, takes the ball out, steps back and calls timeout, are we talking about any of this?
Nope.
No. Nope, none of it.
That's all he had to do, and he's an 18-year veteran.
Steve, I like Lowry a lot, and he's given them good minutes, but when you add in the missed free throw and then the decision that he made to inbound it there, it was a bad couple minutes for him there.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, Steve, you got it. It was. I mean,
so it's Kyle Lowry's fault.
Part of it, yeah.
No, I'm not denying that. I'm just making sure I got understood what the caller was saying. No disrespect. You know, I respect my elders. Just making sure.
I mean, I think it's like 10 different reasons they lost the game, but nine of them are on the Sixers. One of them's on the referee. That's why I'm more frustrated.
There you go.
What do you mean?
I never said that there was parts of this game where you could make an argument that the Sixers screwed up. But that last 30 seconds, that's all on the refs, man. They could have called that.
They could have.
Tyrese could have not flopped. He could have not been waiting around for the ref to make the call.
Someone could have grabbed the rebound.
Yeah, somebody could have did that too. But the refs, it's on the refs, man. That was egregious. It's egregious.
Well, whatever makes you sleep better at night. All I know is that the Sixers gave that thing away. I mean, I think we all felt it. Up five.
Gut punch.
Yeah. Again, in the last 25 years, there have been four teams to lose a game in the postseason when they're up five or more with 30 seconds or less to go. Only four teams have lost a game like that. One is the Sixers last night. The other three teams to lose a game like that, they all lost in overtime. Like, if you felt last night like I did with, you know, as they take the ball up the Knicks after the Lowry free throws, that it's over, you should have felt that way. It's almost impossible to lose that game in regulation, and somehow they did this. They lost it. Let's go to Al in Mercer County. What's up, Al?
Oh, hold on. Oh,
we'll put you on hold, Al. Yeah, we got you.
What you doing? Al, what you doing?
Well, Al seemed a little busy. What do you think Al was doing?
No, it's not. Like, did you hear all of that?
There was someone else there.
Yes. Yeah. You know,
like, someone else.
It sounded like somebody was caught off guard.
Well, Al's back.
So he was paying
us
for gas or something.
Oh, okay. What's up, Al? You filling your tank up, Al?
Listen, I want to make one point, and then you guys can go. I know you're up against the break. There's one play that defined the entire Sixers, where we are today, where we were, and where we're going. And that was the first DiVincenzo missed three when Hardenstein and Embiid were standing right next to each other. Hardenstein goes a foot above the rim and grabs the rebound and kicks it back out for the game winner. And Embiid can only just stand there and do nothing because he can't do anything. It's April playoffs. He's exactly where he was. He's exactly where he is now. And he's exactly where he's going to be. Unable to be 100% in April. That play defined the entire Sixers problem.
And it defines the last 6 years, Al. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's the reality of it. Last night, like, the similarities between that game last night and the Kawhi Leonard shot game are eerily similar. Joel struggling up and down the court in the fourth quarter, a shot that bounced on the rim a couple times and goes in, a heartbreaking finish. I feel like I've watched the same game 10 times.
I don't think I was pumping gas.
No?
No.
That's what he told Kyle.
I don't believe that. This was just he heard me got the phone, like, real quick.
Yeah, but maybe he had something to do.
Yeah, he definitely had something to do. It wasn't pumping the gas.
Well, I'm just saying, whatever Al's doing, we appreciate his point.
You think I was lying?
Yeah.
I think he was lying.
He was calling Al a liar.
Like I'm not saying Al is a liar.
You are.
What do you think he was doing?
He was doing something.
I'm
he wasn't pumping
at
the gas. But it, like, just think about that call for a minute, Kyle. Somebody was caught off guard.
Al, like, and someone else.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe because he was paying for gas. Like,
and then he came back and he had his bullet points, and then he had to get back to whatever it was he had going on.
I appreciate every single one of our callers. But what are you doing if you got something else going on and calling the show?
He's calling. So, wait, hold up, hug. Give me 2 minutes. I got to make this point.
I got to get this off my chest.
And then I'll be right back.
And Embiid's got to grab the rebound.
Al,
all right?
That's what we're here for.
Al, you nasty. That's all I got to say. Al nasty.
I mean, I think you're jumping to conclusions.
I don't think I'm jumping to conclusions.
How about that D, baby?
I don't think I'm jumping to conclusions.
A little bit.
Okay, let's take this to court, shall we? That was, like, if you're pumping gas, is anybody that caught off guard pumping gas when they hear somebody, you know, when they know they called a radio station?
Well, I think it's a little different when you're filling your tank compared to putting $20
no,
in.
No, no. No, no. And then he get back on the phone. And he makes his clear and concise points.
And then he's got to go.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing us a favor. Yeah.
Like, Al, you weren't pumping gas, though. That's all I got to say. I mean, you're a grown man. You're a grown man. You weren't pumping gas, though. That's all I got to say.
All right. The jury now will have to deliberate.
Weren't pumping gas.
215-592-9494. We'll come back. We'll hit your phone calls here.
Get out of here.
And we'll try to turn the page to Thursday. The series goes on. And is there any history actually on the Sixers side here? Down 0-2 in the series. We'll discuss it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The road to the NBA Finals starts now. And new customers on FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can pick three-pointers made in the game, over-under point totals, first basket score, and more. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Hi.
do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team.
Joel Embiid
said it. That's what I'm talking about, Joel Embiid. Talk your talk. Talk your stuff.
Better back it up in game three.
Yeah. You put it out there, and that's going to be the storyline. And it starts what, Wednesday, Thursday?
Thursday night. It's a big night. Thursday night, obviously, the NFL draft and Sixers and the Knicks game three. All right, obviously, history's against.
There's going to be a lot going on in this.
It is. It'll be a busy night. The history's against the Sixers. They've never come back from down 0-2 in a seven-game series. We know how much Kyle hates history. I have some history you might like, though. Nick Nurse has a history, though, of coming back down 0-2. When the Raptors won the title, we remember that as when they beat the Sixers with Kawhi Leonard. But the next series in the Eastern Conference Finals, they went down 0-2 to the Milwaukee Bucks. And then, Hugh, you know what they did? They won Game 3. They won Game 4. They won Game 5. They won Game 6. They won in 6, even after going down 0-2. So Nick Nurse has a track record, or at least he did it once. At least it happened before. Nick Nurse has been part of a team that's down 0-2, came back to win the series. We do have an early line on game number 3, by the
way.
What
we got?
All right, so the Sixers were what? They were 4.5-point dogs in game 1. They were about 5.5 yesterday. It is flipped the other way. The Sixers are 4.5-point favorites for game number 3 back here in Philadelphia.
Oh.
You don't like that? I mean, I'd rather be a favorite than a dog.
Of course, but like, I mean, no.
You don't trust the numbers.
No, I don't buy that the Sixers should be favorites in the game, no matter what. Like, well, I feel like it's tough to get off the mat.
I agree.
After something like that.
I it is. Now, as far as the series goes, they're plus 370 to win the series. Knicks are minus 520 now to win the series after going up 2-0. But we do have the Sixers favorites on Thursday. And got that little Nurse history there. As he did this once. He was down 0-2 and came back. All right, let's talk to Richard. Richard, who's a Knicks fan, chiming in. Are you gonna rub this in our face here, Richard?
No, I don't do that. First time calling you guys. I loved your work, man. I thought you were a really terrific player.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Saw you the first couple of years with the Jets. Sorry that they let you go. And you guys are really good. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, you got it, Richard. We appreciate you calling. So what do you think about this series?
Well, look, if you're going to tell me the Brunson would be 16-60, and you told me DiVincenzo was benched his first game in the fourth quarter and getting nothing out of Odunavi, you'd be crazy to think that they'd be up 2-0. The two best players on the court are definitely Embiid and Maxey. I am so impressed with Maxey. I think he's a phenomenal player. And to be honest, when they went up 4 with 1:09 to go, I said, this could, because I really felt that they won that. You guys won that last night. I didn't think we'd come back from that. The only issue you really have is you're getting nothing from the bench. Reed has been really much nothing. And you mentioned Bobby Hill. Bobby Hill used to be like shoot up threes from his bedroom.
I know. In my mind, Hill should be doing what McBride is doing for the Knicks, coming in instant offense, and he's done nothing.
Yeah, and this is his first time after 8 years to be in the playoffs. So you think he'd really would be really looking forward to be a real help to them. So, and the other thing with Embiid, I love him. He's a great player. But after a while, you do get a little tired of the fact that he's never healthy. And that is just drags the team down, because if he's healthy, he's a monster. He's a weapon. And I don't think Brunson is going to be terrible. I think he's going to have a good game. But when you're up 2-0, you got some room for error here. So
you do. Look, and they have a game 7 at home if they need it. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that I think the Sixers are not dead. I think the Sixers are going to make a fight of this. And if you win the third game, it's one game at a time. And you mentioned a couple with the NFL draft. I think they're making a big mistake taking McCarthy ahead of Daniels. I think Daniels is going to be a stud. And how he's going to drop down to 7, I don't get it. And you mentioned also cornerbacks that don't tackle. We got one with the Jets and Sauce Gardner. I love the guy. But God, if somebody makes a play and he's got to make a tackle, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of those great corners
you
don't.
Like to have
yeah.
that combination.
Yeah, it's rare. It is, Richard. We appreciate the phone call.
That front four, the Jets, though, they can hunt.
Well, you know what helps them? Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy
like
used to
if,
be here.
If Darius Slay was in that type of defense, he could thrive. Like, because they hunt. They pursue. They get after it. They're young. It's just that in this defense, it feels like it's required to tackle.
Well, hold that thought, Hugh.
Got some breaking news here.
94 WIP breaking news.
All right, we got here.
Well, according to the Ian Rappaport, we've been wondering about this last week with the reinstatement of some other players who were suspended for gambling. But according to the Ian Rappaport, the NFL reinstated Eagles cornerback Isaiah Rodgers, who was suspended for the 2023 season for violating the NFL's gambling policy. He may participate in all team activities effective immediately.
All right.
Isaiah Rodgers is back.
All right, that's good news. All right, breaking news for WIP presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Here's the good news for the Eagles on this. I always think Howie tries to fill all the spots in free agency, even if they're just like, you know, placeholders.
Mm-hmm.
That way when the draft starts, he doesn't like have such a big hole in one area that everyone knows he has to draft that. And I think this offseason, he kind of did that, right? They got a linebacker with Devin White.
Mm-hmm.
They got a safety with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You know, they did that kind of around the team. They added some pass rushers, Bryce Huff, the most notable one. And then they got some other smaller names like Bawn and Burks. But corner was the one area they really haven't added in this offseason, especially if you count Chauncey as a safety. So, you know, it feels like everyone's saying corner. But now, at least, you know, Howie can look at the depth chart and be like, we have another corner. Like Isaiah – people have been waiting on Isaiah Rodgers now for a whole year. I don't know how good he's going to be. I do know some of his numbers, Hugh, were good with the Colts a few years ago. It's just a matter of what the – I always wonder what a full year off does to a player. Is it a good thing? Is his body's, you know, in perfect shape? Or is it he needs to, like, get back up to speed?
I think he's been working out, but it's something different. It's totally different when you have to actually, you know, if you're a player and you have to actually, like, cover somebody.
Of course.
I think he's going to be fine, though. I think he's going to be fine. He has to be because I think they're counting on him to get something from him this year. And only thing I remember is when he was at home, I guess he was working out or whatever, when he had on the Eagles gear, just excited about being a part of the team. So, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Well, if they don't draft a corner in the first round on Thursday night, you know what Howie's going to say at that post-draft press conference.
What is he going to say?
Well, he'll be asked about corner if they don't take one. And he'll be like, well, we have a lot of guys. We have
Slay and Bradbury and
Rodgers and Ringo and Rick, so it's another one in there. We'll see if he could play or not, but he's reinstated, which is good news for the Eagles. All right, Pedro is in Ben Salem. Hey, Pedro.
Pedro.
Yo, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Pedro.
I love listening to you guys. And, oh, my goodness, yesterday I felt like I had a heart attack 15 times because I was watching the game with my dad, and my dad's telling me, what if we had Jimmy Butler? Imagine how different this game would be if we had him or if we just didn't have Tobias Harris at all. Because he played 41 minutes and only scored 10 points. And I remember the day when we traded for him, when he used to be on the Clippers. I was so excited to have him on my team. I used to love the guy. And I just can't wait for this year to be over because I want him out of Philly because, oh, my goodness, he just brings so much pain to the fan base, to this family that we have as Philly brothers. And, man, I just – we got to do better because we can't do anything. Only three of our players scored double digits. The Knicks had five players that scored in the double digits. We can't win like that.
I know.
Like that.
And the 3-point miss he had, Pedro, last night. He's had a couple 3-point misses that are nowhere near the rim. It's unbelievable for a player that is as experienced as he is. Like he's been. I just think it's impossible to win anything real when he's your third best player. It's crazy.
It's horrific, but you know what? I have faith. I have faith in this team. I have a Tyrese Maxey. He played absolutely phenomenal yesterday. Embiid with only one leg, he did very well. And I feel like that, you know, if we just get it all together and we just – because we're able to stop Brunson. We just got to stop everybody else.
That's the part that's made me have some hope.
Support. I'm about to say run support. They're getting support from the supporting cast.
Yeah, the Knicks.
Yeah. They're getting support from their bench. Their bench is playing well. We got all of, 12 points from our bench the other night?
They got 32 total from everyone not named Maxey and Embiid. Pedro, we appreciate it. So one part that makes me feel good, and maybe you'll be right here, this thing will turn around, is they've stopped Brunson. Like, they obviously have something.
They've got one aspect of it right, but it doesn't help when you got cats out there shooting the lights out that aren't supposed to be shooting the lights out.
No, well, that makes it more challenging. And the Tobias thing, I was trying to look. I couldn't find it. How many of his 10 points did Tobias have in the first quarter? Felt like 6 or 8 of them came in the first quarter. Can anyone remember a bucket he had in the last 2 or 3 quarters? Like, nobody goes in. I've never seen an NBA player that could be on the court for as long and make less of an impact than Tobias Harris.
I have no issue with Tobias Harris hate, but like that wasn't a bad Tobias. Like,
doesn't that say something?
Well,
about
yeah,
him?
But on the scale of Tobias Harris performances, like that was one of his better that I've seen in a while.
So what I mean by no impact, like I'm not even saying it's a negative impact. Sometimes he just takes up space.
No, I know. I don't think he made an impact offensively, like at all. But there were he was playing some decent defense at times.
He gives effort. I mean, yeah. I never.
Which isn't enough for what he's being paid. But yeah. Like at least, I don't know. I didn't come away from last night thinking like there goes Tobias Harris again. I felt more about like Oubre. Some of the other guys didn't really step up.
Buddy Hield.
Yeah, Buddy Hield, Oubre. Like I don't know. I didn't really come away from last night like cursing Tobias.
Yeah, what was it? The first night. I think last night. The last couple of games. The bench for the Knicks has really been like.
Oh, it has. Yeah, I mean, McBride in the first game was like a plus 37 when he was out there, and I mean, the Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson combination is giving the Sixers trouble at the center position. They're getting every rebound. They're blocking shots. I mean, the Hartenstein guy last night's making like the hook shots or the like little floaters over Embiid.
Oh yeah, but last night they killed us though. They had like 30 points or something off the bench to our 7. Like that right there.
By the way, off to the side, and I know it's his name. But you saying his name just brought it into my head. The way that every announcer has to go to such great lengths to pronounce the Stein part of the Hartenstein.
Hartenstein?
Like, just stop.
You mean like they want to pronounce his name correctly?
You want less enunciation?
Yeah, would you just lay off the sh part for a little bit?
So Hartenstein?
Hartenstein. 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 You'll have to go Hartenstein. Like, it feels like they're all trying to let me know that they're going sh.
That they're really enunciating.
Yes, they're like, oh, yes, Hartenstein.
But isn't
like,
that their job?
That's being a professional.
They're enunciating.
Stop
the
doing your job.
You don't want them to be a professional.
This is about me.
Until the Sixers even this series, do not pronounce the names correctly. Randy's at Germantown. What's up, Randy?
Hey, what's up? First time caller. Thanks for taking my call. But I think actually they should have sat and be. Because he's, clearly hobbled. I had that same surgery, and it took me a while, to get my lateral movement and everything. But I mean, why you think they don't try to throw in Mamba?
Mo
Bamba?
Yeah, Mo. Yeah, like I mean, I know he's limited offensively, but I mean. He's a big body. He can shoot that three, and he takes up space. And
I mean, come on.
You know, maybe Council in there and a pain. But I actually got the real reason what's wrong with Embiid.
What is it?
He wears Skechers. His sneaker is Skechers. I'm not talking about Skechers. I'm talking about Skechers, bro. Skechers. How does he think he's Ant-Man doing a alley-oop in Skechers? Come on, you.
I ain't got nothing to say about that, man.
You, help me
out. I can't. Listen.
You're a sneaker guy.
Randy. It's certain, like, you have to understand. It's certain things that I cannot respond to when it comes to, basically, talking bad about, companies, certain companies.
Skechers,
I kind of like my job. You know what I mean? So I'm just going to let you cook.
Company man Douglas over here. Wow. Randy, good call.
Hey, Randy. I'm just going to let you cook. And, because if Skechers called me and offered me some money, guess what I'm doing?
I tell you what. Skechers, when they made the deal with Embiid, they must have not realized it was only going to turn negative if he gets hurt or falls down.
No, that's happened before. Who was it got hurt? It was a signature shoe, and they got hurt and hurt their company. I think it was like British Knights or something. It was a while ago.
Mm.
But – I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not talking bad about the company, but.
You got hurt in the shoes, you mean?
Like wearing somebody got shoes. Hurt in the shoes. Oh, somebody, it was a shoe that they were
business.
Wearing, and they got hurt in the shoe.
Are you holding out for a shoe deal? Is that what this is about?
I'm not saying I'm holding out for anything,
well,
bro.
It sounds like you're angling for a shoe deal.
It's just certain people.
We do radio.
You don't want to burn bridges. That's all I'm saying.
Well, maybe you'll get a headphone deal.
But
we're not getting a sneaker deal here.
When I saw the shoes, I was like, the deuce?
If only he was wearing the Douglas threes.
No, man, listen. I don't know how long Sketch has been in the NBA, like the shoe game. I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, New Balance, like what? What's his name? Kawhi wears New Balance.
Yeah, but he's different, Kawhi. He's got a weird.
But he's been hurt a lot since he had that New Balance deal.
Are we blaming the New Balance?
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying. It's like certain people trying to get into that different shoe game probably should stay in the game that they're in. Maybe they should just work with Howie Long and Snoop Dogg and do the Skechers thing that way instead of, you know, taking that NBA money. I don't know. Like, seriously, I don't know what is Joel's shoe numbers doing? What is his shoe number?
I have no idea.
I don't think it's that great, Joe.
I mean, the shoe game, that's more your area of expertise on this show. You got to tell me what's going on.
It was the N1 had a shoe.
That was Marbury at the beginning.
Starbury. Yeah, the N1s. Like, dog, it's hard. Like,
12-year-old Joe Giglio had some Starberries. Not going to lie. Those are pretty cool shoes. All right, let's go to Glenn in Wilmington. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, what's going on? You guys can hear me good?
Yeah, what's up, Glenn, man? What's up?
Man, you can't pinpoint one person to say it's their fault. But Kyle Lowry definitely showed nothing good at the end of that game. He couldn't even make free throws, for crying out loud. And then what did he do? Did he get together with Villanova the night before and say, look, we can't bet MGM, but here, let's bet together. I don't get it, man. He needs to do better. He definitely needs to do better in that situation.
He does, Glenn. He does. I think he's getting. Glenn, we appreciate the call. I think he's giving them a lot of good minutes. I don't think he's throwing the series with his former fellow alum. But he's giving them good minutes. Except at the end, he made some mistakes. I mean, the missed free throw is a physical mistake, right? It happens, right? He missed a free throw. He's usually a good free throw shooter. He's got to call a timeout there. I thought he put Maxey in a bad spot on the inbounds. He just put him in a bad spot. He's being swarmed by Harden Brunson. He put him in a bad spot, and then the whole turnover happened. You got more in Skechers?
No, you know the man was without a business when he got hurt.
Well, if I remember correctly, N1s were not the best shoe. I mean, they were not made very well.
I don't know, dog. I'm just saying. He went and got his. All I'm saying is this: my man got his knee repaired, and only thing I see is a young equipment lady during the course of the game massaging Buddy's knee.
You know what this all tells me? That we are out of excuses. We're out of answers to why this team can't win. We're looking at the sneakers now.
No, listen. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's the shoe, but damn, Buddy's still hurt. Like, he still looked like he's still, like, something's still wrong with his knee. Like, for real.
When they eventually write the book of the process and we have the year-by-year blame in the playoffs. The book of the process. We will go from blaming.
I will tell you right now before you say anything else, you better patent that name.
The book of the process.
You better patent
that
name.
So we go from blaming Brett Brown to blaming Ben Simmons to James Harden. We're on Skechers now.
Have you seen those Skechers, though?
We're done.
Have you seen the shoe? Seriously. Like, you know, I like J's. Everywhere I go in the city. In Philadelphia, I see people with J's on.
Yeah, of course.
I ain't seen that nan person with the Skechers on outside of Joel Embiid. Is anybody out there? Did anybody out there buy the process shoe? Did anybody buy the process?
If you want to see Skechers, you probably got to hang out in the suburbs.
No, I'm just saying.
You're in the wrong spot.
No, I'm just saying. Did anybody buy the process? I bet you there's more people that listen to our show that got the Snoop Dogg shoe.
I haven't seen those. Sketch.
You haven't seen the Snoop Dogg shoe?
I'll search those.
Oh, like the Snoop Dogg shoe is like. It's classic for, like, people of my age demographic. You just put that thing around your foot and just slide it on.
Yeah, that's for older people. Yeah, I see that.
that's for my demographic right there.
Let's talk to George in Ohio. What's up, George?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. So I heard something earlier. I'm driving home. I'm heading down to the Phillies tonight. And basically, you guys were making a comment. Somebody was making a comment about hitting the timeout, you know, putting the hand signal together and doing.
Yeah, Nurse, because he was kind of in and out, but before the inbound.
Lax was Davisco about his timeout.
Yeah, it's almost like he wanted the timeout, but wasn't really demonstrative.
He wasn't
about
committed
it.
To the timeout.
Yeah, but what's the rule, man? Is there a rule that says you have to hit it multiple times and look emphatic about it, or do you actually just have to make the signal?
I don't know if it's a. I think you need to get the referee's attention, right? Like, so my thinking is. the more you do it, right, the more demonstrative you are, whether you run up next to him or you're constantly making the tee with your arm, you know, your two hands, the more likely they are to notice it, right? If you kind of do it once for a second and then you pull away, they might not see that in the split second. That's what – I don't know what the rule is. I'm just trying to get their attention.
Well, I don't know. They're looking at him. And, you know, there's multiple shots of him looking, whatever. There's a whole lot of reasons why this team lost last night, but that, you know, that's still – anyway, whatever. Yeah, I'm not pulling an owl here, but I got to run. It was great chatting with you guys.
You got it, George. Appreciate it. George's going to the Phillies game tonight. Phillies going for 8 in a row?
He said he wasn't pulling an owl. See, he don't even believe the story Al told. See, that's what he said.
You're making Al a real character on this show.
No, Al.
There was someone else there. I get it. Maybe it was the gas attendant.
Yeah, the gas attendant. How many? What, he's in Jersey pumping gas?
Could have been. I forget. Where was he from? You remember?
She was caught off guard. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. The guy said he was pumping gas. Hopefully he was filling his tank and not just putting 20 in like crazy people.
He was filling his tank, all right.
Doing what he's got to do.
Where's Mercer County?
It's in New Jersey.
Okay.
Also, that validates where he was pumping gas.
It adds some credence to the story.
Oh, for real?
It means that he might have been getting his gas pumped by somebody.
He was getting his gas pumped.
I hope the last 25 minutes added some levity to a tough day. The dude at the gas station.
Not sure what he's doing.
What
gas station you going to, Al? Like, where you getting?
Yeah,
your
he
gas?
Wants to go there next. And
where
then
where you getting your gas?
And then we're on to Skechers as the reason why the Sixers can't close out a game.
Listen,
today what I'm gonna do, if I see somebody in the streets of Philadelphia with some Skechers, I'm gonna take a picture. Because I'd be damned, that'd be the
So you're going to be the creepy
pair.
Guy? Is that Hugh Douglas taking my picture?
No, I'm going to – because, like, everybody that is in the shoe game, they kind of look at their shoes. So I wouldn't be out of line.
Oh, so it's okay.
It's okay to look at – like, as long as you ain't grabbing nobody's feet or nothing, you can look at the
Don't
shoes.
Don't do that, Hugh.
But I'm going to see if I can find, like, run around the city. Because when AI was here, you saw the answers all the time.
Oh, you did.
I'm going to see if I see some sketches.
All right, if you see who out, be nice. He takes your picture of your feet. All right, everyone, have a great day. Hopefully we can get over this thing and move on tomorrow. Enjoy the Phillies tonight. We'll talk tomorrow. Afternoon show next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.